This episode of iRescue Radio is brought to you by ProCPR.org. Online CPR training, when you want it, where you want it.
What? What? Talk to me.
I can't look.
Talk right to now. Me.
Just start the dang podcast.
We already are. We're on. Another episode. Happy at the table with iRescue Radio.
And Captain Cranky.
Right. I'm Roy.
I'm the angry dieter.
Jody.
And I'm Dan. Smooth.
So Dan's telling me about this guy who decides to jump off a bridge.
Well, that's not smart.
Well, before the podcast is done, it might be me.
Or me. I'll tandem.
Tandem bungee. I as I'm bedecking myself for work.
Yes.
You're doing what?
I got...
He's handsome.
Bedecking
He
yourself.
Does very nice it's, job.
It's he primping. Bedecks.
Okay,
perfect. Did you shave, though? That's the.
I did not, but the eucerin is
He's
tight
much
to the body.
For that bedecking.
at least you weren't manscaping, were you?
Oh, stop already. Anyway.
Jody actually outgrossed us. That's the first
I
time.
I know.
Did I really?
I won't go into that French thing we were talking
no.
about.
No. Moving right along.
So, as I'm bedecking myself, I'm watching the news.
Yeah.
Matt Lauer.
Yeah.
Was that Today's Show, I guess. Mm-hmm. And they show a picture of a guy who jumps off a very... altitude-ridden bridge. This thing is high.
A perfectly good bridge.
Into a deep, 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 deep gorge.
Whoa.
On a bungee.
Oh, my lands.
And they didn't really... They should have really gone into it, because I want to know how... He jumps off the bridge.
Yeah.
This guy's in his... He looked like he was early 50s.
Yeah.
So he's just living on the edge.
Wait a minute.
Senility.
He wasn't a kid?
No!
Senility had set in by then.
And he wasn't bedecking himself.
No.
But 25 feet above the water,
yeah.
the bungee snaps.
No.
And he plunges into the river below.
Oh. He's gone.
His thoughts are, I'm actually moving. And I better start swimming.
No.
Because it's freezing water.
No.
He walked away from it. No
You're
injuries.
You're kidding
no
me.
No injuries.
No.
And he said, I'll do it again.
Is he a believer?
No, but he's a complete fool.
Yeah.
And I have no use for fools.
Tell us how you really feel, Dan.
I'm a little mixed on your feelings
I question the sanity of people that go mountain hiking in avalanche-ridden areas and jeopardize other rescuers to go in there.
The
and it's not your St. Bernard with a little barrel tucked beneath his neck.
But did you hear that people that do those types of things... Well, for instance, you just talked about avalanches.
Yeah.
I just read that some of these extreme backcountry snowboarders and skiers, they've got ABS.
They have ABS? Brakes? What?
Oh, sorry. No, I'm sorry. Airbags.
They have what?
Airbags.
How? Where?
What do you mean?
They have airbags on a backpack.
What is that going to do?
That deploy when they go into avalanche. It keeps them up on top of the snow
ride. Oh, really?
Keeps them more shallow than deep.
Interesting.
This guy had so much weight on him, he blew the blood vessels in his eyeballs.
Oh.
And they interviewed him in this thing.
Oh, my word.
Is that crazy?
But he had airbags.
He had airbags. How about a parachute?
Well, ABS would have helped, too. It would have stopped him before he got there. I don't know. Airbags.
But there must
or
be
avalanche.
There's got to be a common theme with these people that do these kinds of things.
Wow. Yeah. Complete insanity.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in their fearlessness, but not that I know the mind of God. But it cannot be what he designed us for. It can't. I don't think he meant us to fly either. No. So a little on the edge on that one. But.
Well, it's an adventurous spirit. You know, think about this: the pioneers would have never came across a country. If
he's
going to
be a spirit. Well,
yeah, but adventurous. You know, I love to go canoeing back on the river where there's nobody.
Yeah, that's radical.
Exactly.
Look out those, for that turtle.
Class one.
Holy! You gotta call 911, dudes. We're gonna fall.
Just stand up, Roy. It's up to your ankles, pal.
It's a trickle. It's a crick.
However, canoeing in the Grand River after a rainstorm.
That's pretty adventurous.
With sewer in it is extreme.
No, I would say
now that takes guts.
Yeah. Or stupidity.
Or stupidity. I recommend you go to ProBloodBorne.com yeah, and get your certification and
infection control yeah, training.
That's for sure.
Oh, yuck. Oh, man. And then I see people fishing in there.
Well, yeah.
Now the fish. Right.
I just don't keep them and eat them. All right.
Why are they wearing rubber gloves with the fish? Yeah. Well, you know, maybe that's why. Maybe this is the answer, Dan.
What?
Well, why people do funny things like jump off perfectly good bridges and,
and are meant to traverse the gulch.
What's that rubber band snapping sound?
Oh, they created a platform for me so I could. It was zoomed in for me.
Diving boards.
Well, anyways, maybe that's why. So that scientists could develop new and crazy things like bionic ears and bionic arms.
And euthanasia. Get rid of these people.
Oh, oh no. Oh, you don't mean that.
I don't.
Oh, all right.
I don't.
For the record. Though you may hear it again from time to time. Well,
the raging blood.
That reminds me. People that have suffered injuries, whether they begged for it or not.
Yeah. Most people don't beg for injuries.
Certainly give opportunity for scientists to develop it.
Yeah. They okay, beg if okay, they jump off the bridge.
Okay, okay.
They're begging yeah, to be killed. Yeah.
You're right,
okay,
Dan.
Okay.
They sure are.
But there are a lot of people that are helped by science that aren't begging, though. So.
Right. So maybe the development of things from those poor, unfortunate, mindless souls, they help contribute to the well-being of those innocent souls.
There you go.
That'll that only work, drove a 2,000-pound vehicle 150 miles an hour into a wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways, this is kind of the point of this, is that the Health and Medical News came out with some announcements that a new bionic ear uses smart plastic. Did you guys read about that?
Yeah, I did. And the thing that amazes me, I was thinking, oh, yeah, another hearing aid. Okay, ooh.
Yeah, right.
It's not a hearing aid. No. We're talking about a piece of plastic that actually grows kind of
yeah,
in your ear.
Well,
this is wild.
They put actually what? They put nerve cells in the plastic.
Isn't that called earwax?
No. I don't think...
You're trying to avoid that.
Well, anyways, it says scientists are building a new bionic ear coated in a smart plastic that boosts the growth of nerve cells in the inner ear when it's zapped with electricity.
It's wild.
Technology which also has potential for healing spinal cords, like our bungee cord jumper, is being developed at the Australian Center of Medical Bionics and Hearing Science.
For the record, that's a different kind of cord. Anyhow.
Yeah. Collaborator Professor Gordon Wallace of the Intelligent Polymer Research Institute at the University of Wollongong says the polymer polypyrrole is unusual because, unlike most plastics, it can conduct electricity.
It's wild.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm thinking Napoleon Dynamite when I think of polymer.
We can encompass these molecules in the polymer structure, Wallace says. Then we inject small amounts of electricity into the structure, and that causes the release of the molecules and makes them available to the nerve cells.
So wild.
Well, Dr. Adrian Cameron says a polymer-coated tube-shaped device loaded with growth factors could be implanted at the site of a spinal cord injury to help mend damaged nerve fibers or axons. What we want to do is reconnect the broken axons above the injury with the intact motor control centers below the injury, he says. And we intend to use the polymer growth factor device as a bridge. Is that interesting or what?
That is so cool.
That's cool. In fact, we know somebody who has a spinal cord injury. She's very active, has a young family. She would benefit highly from this. Was involved in a motor vehicle accident, had the thoracic nerves in the spinal cord crushed, not severed. Uh-huh. Can you imagine just using this polymer to do a loop, a bypass?
A bypass, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Signals are still going from brain to the wherever the live cord is.
Sure.
And the signals are still going up because she still gets like the spasms and the looping where one foot will jump and she has to stop that looping. Yeah. So we know that the nerve endings are still working below the injury site.
Right.
But she can't connect
it. That's incredible.
Isn't that cool?
That would be phenomenal.
That is neat science.
Well.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Aaron, in the heels of that, okay, a little bit about my age.
Uh-oh. There's nothing to loop that.
Bionic Man was very popular. In fact, I really
Steve Austin, baby.
I wanted a lunchbox so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Austin.
Did you get one?
I didn't.
No. I remember on the playground many times being the $6 million man.
Oh.
Always.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like
yeah.
incredible, right? You try to look at something far away. Mm-hmm. But you know what always bummed me out when I watched the show? When the sound would go, because you knew something was failing. Things were going bad in the world of Bionics.
Double A's. I need double A's.
He was going to be ripping something open or popping something out to fix it.
It wasn't going
to
be good.
Yeah. Bigger, faster, stronger. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. Yes. That was back in the 70s?
Probably mid-70s.
Starsky
and Hutch Day.
It was a good show.
Yeah, like
right before Charlie's Angels.
Yep.
One of my favorite shows.
Well, check this out.
Yeah.
A man who lost his left hand in an accident 3 years ago has been fitted with the world's most sophisticated prosthetic limb. Huh. Evan Reynolds, 19, took only minutes to learn how to manipulate the eye limb.
The eye limb?
Can you believe that?
Everything's an eye anymore, isn't it?
Well, you know, hey.
It's an internet limb.
It's catchy.
It's eye limb.
Was it made by Mac?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering. Let's see.
Which is operated by tiny sensors resting against his arm muscles.
Huh.
With his new hand, he can now pick up a paper cup filled with water, peel a carrot, or walk down the street eating crisps.
Yeah.
Those would be potato chips in the continental U.S.
Exactly.
And all activities he could only dream about before.
Huh.
Yeah, because
he's... Is that cool?
Well, that is absolutely amazing, because you look at some of the prosthetics that are out there, and you go back in the day when prosthetics were first started, it was like a hook.
Yeah, really.
Less. And they've come so far.
It's amazing. My goodness.
Incredible.
It says each finger of the eye limb is controlled by its own individual motor.
Yeah.
Allowing a much more sensitive grip than previous prosthetics.
It's wild.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's very amazing.
Yeah.
And 10,000 pounds does not seem like a lot to me. For that kind of limb.
No.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know what it is in dollars. I don't know how that converts to dollars, but you think,
or is that euro?
That's
is that a euro?
I'm showing my ignorance. I'm not sure.
No, it says pounds.
that's pounds. I'm thinking.
Well, listen. Yeah. Here, this is true and dear to me. Of course, it was designed by a Scottish company. Anything worth anything was developed by a Scot.
Was he in a kilt?
I don't think so.
I hear the bagpipes playing now.
I'm not sure. All I know is that when you're in the Highlands, it's not a good time to not have your left arm.
You got to get those capers and throw them.
And if you can't rebuild it, write a poem about it.
There you
That's
go.
What we say.
That's right.
Anyways, beautiful. Very cool stuff.
That is
and
incredible.
You know what? I think Paul Martin, our engineer, our man of the
Extraordinaire.
Hour. The man of men.
There he is. Yes.
I think his dad.
The one I always hoped to be.
His dad tragically lost his left arm, and he was left-handed.
Yeah.
In a press accident some years ago. His left hand. Mm-hmm. Not his arm. His left hand.
Yeah.
And he's a teacher, and typing is a real chore for him.
Yeah.
And has been.
Yeah.
Takes him hours, what takes other people a fraction of that time. Well, we might have to have him in. But anyways, the cool thing there was that an engineering club or group
at the high school
at Catholic Central High School, they actually made a project, which was to create this limb, this prosthetic that had digits, so that he could use those two digits to type, and it has improved his typing tremendously. And that's not even electronic.
Yeah, it saves him at least an hour a day.
Yeah,
of what he was doing before.
Isn't that amazing?
It is incredible.
We'll have to talk to him.
Yeah,
see if he can phone us.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting in those situations. I tried voice activation software.
Yeah.
It's got a ways to go.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder why, you know, I'm sure he's tried it.
Maybe it couldn't keep up with your slurred speech that comes, you know, transiently throughout the day.
It didn't know the word insane.
No,
this is insane. Wow.
The guy's completely nuts.
Inconceivable.
For you not to use our online training would be insane.
She's the line in front of me.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Well, see, now that's why Roy can't use it, because he keeps I jumping into the Scottish accent right. there. Right?
Well, you know.
From sloth to Scott.
Right. Are you talking about my personality? Or
wait a minute. Now, moving right along.
I've seen your office. Very
soft. One thing I loved about that article, what he said, he says, he's 19. So just imagine, a 19-year-old guy.
Yep.
He says, I love sport. I still play rugby. I still play squash. But I take the ILM off first.
Oh, funny.
So that was kind of funny.
So maybe it's technologically sound, just not real durable yet.
You wouldn't want to crush that 10,000 pound kind of thing.
No, I think, and quite frankly, he probably wants to use his limb as a club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going into the scrum.
Yeah, there you go. Really. Yeah. Well, on this, you know, on a little bit of a more solemn note here, I can't believe this article about the comatose patients that were in a vegetative state and that 40% of all comatose patients may be misdiagnosed.
Amazing. That is amazing.
Ooh, it was to say it was alarming is a little bit of an understatement.
Yeah.
Very moving article.
I mean, when you think about some of the more popular situations that we've had, the Tony Bland, age 18, Karen Ann Quinlan,
right.
Terry Schiavo is one of the latest ones
Christopher Reeves.
Reeves.
Well, Terry
Well, Christopher Reeves was not in a vegetative state. Right. He was a quadriplegic.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Severe. But
Terry was the one that I think was the most
Everybody can remember that. Yeah, I mean, that was just an amazingly tense time. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy stuff. But listen to this. Kate Brainbridge is a lively 37-year-old former school teacher. We're communicating in the conservatory of her parents' home in South Cambridge. This article came from Times Online. She has expressive eyes and a broad and ready smile, but she can utter only occasional single words with difficulty. She sits in a wheelchair speaking with the aid of a letterboard, using her left forefinger to spell out words individually. 10 years ago, Kate went into a deep coma and was on a ventilator for several weeks. She had suffered severe brain inflammation after contracting a viral infection. Wow. Kind of scary, huh? When she came out of the coma, she opened her eyes and could breathe naturally, but she was unresponsive to speech and visual stimuli and appeared to lack all conscious awareness. She was still in this condition 4 months after falling ill and was later diagnosed to be in a persistent vegetative state, otherwise known as PVS. In other words, persistently unaware. But the diagnosis was wrong. Although Kate could not speak or hear properly or make any kind of signal or take in sustenance except through a tube in the stomach, she was sometimes aware of herself and her surroundings. She had a raging thirst, she says, that was not alleviated by the ward staff. Wow. She was racked with pain. Sometimes she'd even cry out, but the ward staff thought it was just a reflex action. Kate suffered so much pain and despair that she tried to take her own life by holding her breath.
Oh, amazing. Amazing what was going through her
mind. Oh, my goodness.
Emotional state at that point.
Yeah.
Not being able to communicate to anyone, but
yet
fully mentally aware of what is going on around you. Just like you and I are sitting here today. We're sitting here at this table. We're fully aware.
Yep.
We're able to communicate.
Yep.
I mean, in some level.
But sometimes better than others. We didn't mean to look at you when he said that.
I'm looking at me, Dan.
He was looking at you and met him.
Yeah.
Or me.
I don't look like like you, Jody.
I was looking in the mirror.
You stare at me. But, they said it's the living dead.
Mm. Oh. Mm. You want to talk about being imprisoned.
Yeah.
And I would bet that most people would think, please don't bring me back to that. Mm-hmm. And that's far out of all of ours, but we hear about that a lot in CPR. Yeah. Listen, if I go, leave me, right? And there is death with dignity. I mean, there's do not resuscitate orders and advanced directives, and, there's people with persistent chronic disease processes that are saying, look, let the lifespan go the way it's supposed to. No heroics. Mm-hmm. Let me go.
Right.
People of faith, people of no faith, they have, I believe, a right to have death with dignity. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about euthanasia. We're talking about letting natural processes take control.
Correct.
These people, though, are living in a human prison. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
cocoon.
Yeah. But worst yet, stimulus can come in, but they can't send it back out.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. My stepdad was like that for almost, I can't remember if it was 6 or 7 years after a car accident. And he was totally paralyzed, couldn't move a thing, couldn't speak at all, had a trach tube that he breathed through.
Yep.
And in the nursing center, and we'd go in to visit him, and he was fully aware of who we were. You could see it in his eyes. And he could look at you all day long. And when you would talk about certain things, you could see the reaction in his eyes. But he had no muscles that could move. He couldn't move his neck. He couldn't move his head. Couldn't move his face. Couldn't talk. But to see him like that, he knew who we were.
Because
you could see the reaction of certain things we talk about.
Yeah.
And he would tear up in things about certain things. We talk about emotional subjects. Or when it's time to go, it was obvious that he didn't want us to leave. And so, yeah, he was there. Just couldn't communicate.
Could not communicate. And thankfully, he had a loving family that said, regardless of how you look, we're going to interact with you.
Yeah.
We're going to love you. We're going to care for you and so on. Well, listen to this. Then a Cambridge neuroscientist called Dr. Adrian Owen put her in a special kind of scanner and performed an unprecedented experiment. It revealed evidence of fluctuating levels of brain activation when she was presented with pictures of her parents, and from that point, she started her long journey back into the world. This is a story about brain-impaired patients who come gradually out of coma into minimal awareness. That's in quotes. After being misdiagnosed as being in PVS, persistent vegetative state. Breathing, appearing to be wakeful, yet deemed to be dead to themselves and misdiagnosed as being in PVS.
Oops.
Sorry, reread that, didn't I? But appearing to be dead to themselves and to the world. Sorry about that. Only an estimated 20% of the patients return from this PVS state or from a brain injury state of comatose, even regardless of how they're diagnosed or wrongly diagnosed. And I think that probably perpetuated misdiagnoses because it happens so little. That's 2 out of 10 people, though that seems a little bit high to me. That seems like a lot. But up to 12,000 people under the age 40 in this country suffer traumatic brain injury every year. So what this neuroscientist and a group of neurologists and neurosurgeons are starting to do is say they're basically campaigning and saying that unknown numbers of patients are just being warehoused. We have to stop this. We must become more aggressive with our rehabilitation, with diagnoses. It was saying that diagnosis by the bedside is not accurate enough by looking at how they seem. We must get our technology on board and find out, are they responsive to stimulus?
Right.
Are there brainwave activities that are happening as a result of touch, sound, taste, pain, so on and so forth, so that we can unlock the cells and begin the healing process and give them what they need as a person?
Correct.
And I love this. This is really great.
No question.
You know, this reminds me of, and I'll try to make this as brief as possible, a similar story to yours, Jody. When I was in paramedic school, actually, I was working in a cardiac intermediate care unit. And we would sometimes get neuro and post-cardiac arrest patients in there, sometimes overflow. But this young man was under age 40, a young entrepreneur. I'll never forget his demeanor. Had a family, a young family, at least two small children that I can remember, a wife. He was an entrepreneur, an engineer by trade and by profession. High amount of type A personality, smoked, you know, a lot of work, not a lot of rest, ate probably poorly, and had sudden cardiac arrest in his shower one morning. A wife kind of told me the whole story about how it happened. She could not get to him because of the glass doors to do adequate CPR for an undetermined amount of time before the EMS arrived. Regardless of that, he was really in a PVS state, a persistent vegetative state, in appearance. We had him for probably 3 to 4 to 5 weeks. I can't remember exactly. But what I do remember is working on the floor there one day, doing an activity down by his bedside. And this is a person who would move from time to time, but it was more reflexive or looking like a small seizure. He sat straight up in bed and slowly looked over at me, kneeling beside the bed. I think I was emptying a Foley catheter at the time. And said, as clear as day, "Hi." Oh. And then he slowly laid back down and went right back into that comatose state.
Oh, my.
I jumped up so fast and went out to see the nurse that was caring for him, and I said, you are not going to believe me. Okay, I just know that, but I'm telling you right now, this patient just sat up and looked square dead in my eyes and said hi and then laid back down. Do you want me to note this in the notes? Do you need to tell the doctors about this? Well, and she took a very lackadaisical approach to it and basically poo-pooed it away as, you're ignorant. You know, Roy, you're wishful. And I am a man of faith. I have a lot of faith in miracles. I know that God does some amazing things, not only in my life, but in creation in general.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I knew that this person was fully capable of that, but I didn't expect him to wake up. Mm-hmm. He looked like a goner to me, okay? Mm. And they were at the cusp of deciding whether to pull all forms of life support, much like the Terry Schiavo case. They were literally within days, and that was why I was so urgent in telling the nurse so she could tell the doctor, and they could then begin to talk about extending this time. Summary. Before I quit, this was right at the time I had gotten another job on a different floor.
Yeah.
I visited him in rehabilitation where he was learning how to eat again.
Wow.
And his two kids were sitting on his lap. This is weeks progression, right?
Yep.
We're talking about weeks now. But sometime within 6 months, that man was sitting upright and cutting jokes. And literally his wife said, honey, this is the young man that saw you wake up the first time.
Huh. Wow.
And I'll never forget that. Wow. I'll never forget that.
Fantastic.
That is what has driven me truly to have passion to strive to revive any patient in cardiac arrest, unconscious state, with all the fervor of believing today is not their day to die. And I've always said this, whether I was practicing as a clinician or training, you, the patient, are going to decide whether today is your day to live or die. But as far as I'm concerned, it's your day to live, and that's how I'm going to treat you until you prove me wrong. I'll never forget
that. That's incredible.
That's phenomenal.
And I think what I love about this is that now we have a team of neuroscientists that are also going to be pushing to reevaluate these special people that are locked in their bodies and deserve dignity.
Incredible.
So,
incredible.
Interesting. Well, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are amazing. Wow. No, you.
You.
No.
You.
You really guys.
No. You.
Clearly not me.
No. Oh, yes, you.
The raging.
the angry dieter over
I felt
here.
Your energy, Roy.
I'm feeling for you, but I can't reach you.
I feel something.
Well, from the, once again,
illustrious studios,
the neuro epicenter,
the single cell membrane of
iRescue Radio. Yes. I'm Roy.
I'm Jody.
I'm Dan.
Jody, Slim Jody.
Well, not quite slim.
You have
yet.
Lost how much weight so far?
I have lost.
Come
24.
24 pounds. I'm talking about
3 weeks.
Four and a half.
That is like an average of almost 5 pounds a week, Jody.
That is. I'm excited, but trust
we're gonna have to redo our caricatures.
I am an angry dieter, but I'm losing weight.
Dan, you know what my fear is? He was a jolly, plump soul.
I'll still be jolly.
He's going to be a mean, skinny guy.
No.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
It's not gonna happen.
And we'll know it because it'll all be recorded.
No. See.
Yep. This is a trend. This is the progression.
We'll hear you. Oh, wait.
I've seen science. That's why. I've felt it.
That's because I'm dieting now.
Roomed with him yesterday. You saw it firsthand.
It was good for the most part, but there were times of...
He snapped.
It's the food wanting that makes me do that right now. But,
Well, we're proud of you.
Very proud.
Yeah.
Thanks. Very jealous.
I'm going to cry.
I'm going to punch him.
Have a good week.
Bye now.
If you have anything you would like to contribute to iRescue Radio, you can contact us toll-free at 866-661-5701 or visit our website at irescueradio.com. The commentaries in this podcast may not reflect the views of iRescue Radio or any of its sponsors or subsidiaries. iRescue Radio will not be held liable for any damages resulting from the advice given in this podcast.